All right, everybody, here we are, live and in color. Somebody's asking me about wearing the hat today, and it was either that or the little pink beret, so I'm a child of the 70s. I thought I'm going to try something different. I just turned 70, so going back to, you know, my second childhood. But then I thought maybe I'm not going for the 70s look, I'm going for the 1770s look, like that young George Washington kind of a thing, you know? So anyway, we'll see where that goes. Thank you for loving me anyway. Let's pray. Father God, we are grateful for life this morning and that you hold us in the palm of your hand, that you have good news for us today. Just help our hearts to be soft and open and reveal your truth to us. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so if you're just getting here, we've been talking this month about the idea of the pressure's off. And I just thought, what a wonderful message, the pressure's off. And I thought that kind of sums up really the heart of the gospel, is the pressure's off. It's like, it's not on us anymore. Jesus took care of it for us. Praise God. And so what we're doing is we're kind of walking through a number of different ways to kind of think about that, because we can understand, yes, Jesus died on the cross for my sins in our head, but in our heart, we're still carrying around a lot of stuff that makes us just exhausted. So I got to thinking about a couple of scripture verses that went with last week's lesson, which was talking about people who struggle with perfectionism. And remember, we put hands up, and there's a few in here that say, yeah, that's me. And so I thought, what would be some encouraging verses from the Bible? Again, I don't mean just for you to get this in your head, but this would be like scriptures to meditate on and keep on just letting them soak, you know, down into your spirit. But these were the two that I came up with. This first one, but the Lord said to her, my dear Martha, you are worried and upset over all these details. There's only one thing worth being concerned about. Mary's discovered it, and it will not be taken away from her. So just meditating on, you know, Jesus just speaking to Martha about what really is important and all those things that we beat ourselves up over and wear ourselves out with perfectionism. Remember, what's really important is coming to Jesus, just being at his feet. And the other one that I thought about was this thing that I am certain that God, who began the good work within you, will continue his work until it is finally finished on the day when Christ Jesus returns. And so this idea about perfection, it's going to happen, but it's going to happen on the day when Christ Jesus returns. And in the meantime, I am certain that the Holy Spirit, Jesus, is at work doing those things in our life. And then the last one was just this one, maybe a great one for a person who's just struggling to push that rock up the hill, and it just says, be still and know that I am God. I will be honored by every nation. I will be honored throughout the world. Okay. Now, let me see if I can figure out. Here we go. So we're going to jump to the next topic. Remember, I have about a dozen, and I keep thinking of new ones to add to this. And I am feeling no pressure, the pressure's off, to get through all of these, okay? We're just going to take it at your pace and as the Holy Spirit leads. And if I get through three of them, fine. That means I've got nine topics to talk about the next time I roll around to teach. So, okay, if you can handle it. But I wanted to talk about this topic because I feel like it's something that we, a lot of people, have experienced and struggle with. And I want us to just think about, you know, this idea about in your life, growing up, what was your experience with either unconditional love or like works-based and on your effort and conditional love? And so I want everybody just to kind of think about that for a minute. And let's put it this way. This is, again, a 0 to 5, okay? And if you grew up in a home where it was really performance-based and where you were being judged and if you did all the right things, then you were accepted and loved, and if you messed up, then you were punished and pushed away or whatever. And if that was bad for you, let's say that's a five, and if you lived in one of those wonderful fairy tale homes where no matter what happened you do, you were loved, then that's not a problem. And you put up a zero or a one or a two, okay? Right? Everybody think about where you were on that scale. And so let's put up fingers then about where do you think you were on a, like, and look around the room. I mean, you've got company here. I see some fours and some three. I see some fives. I see a zero. Bless you. That's wonderful. Okay, good. Well, I want to ask you then, those of you who have experienced this, can you just tell us, a couple of you, just share and say, what was that like for you growing up, and how has that affected you now as an adult? Right.
But then food was great. Food was awesome. Food was wonderful. My mom was a great cook. You know, she didn't want me to clean in the cook in the kitchen. She didn't want a mess. She was an alcoholic, but functional, and she didn't want the mess, so she didn't teach me to cook. But it was clean your plate. You're a good girl up here, and then you have dessert.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, sure. Somebody else, what was your experience? Yep. Might be linked together. It wouldn't surprise me at all. Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Yeah. It makes all the sense in the world to me that would be the case. Yeah. 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 Right. Right. Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's tough when you feel like it's up to you to try to, you have to earn that love from somebody. Yeah, so that's an interesting observation that, like, when you grow up, it isn't all one or the other. You can start breaking it down to say, from this person, I have to do this. I have to perform. I have to keep my nose clean. I have to go the extra, you know, I have to do all this stuff before I can get them to accept me and love me. The other one is fine. I'm glad you had your mom and your grandma. Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Yeah.
But like one stark example I remember
Right. Right. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Yeah. Isn't that good? Yeah, isn't that good? I don't know if you could hear that, but just talking about how if you've been on the receiving end of like conditional love and it hurts and it's hard. But then as you become an adult, like turn around with your own kids, it's your default. You just kind of go back. That's the pattern you've seen. And without realizing it, that's kind of what you're passing along, can it? Uh-huh. Yeah, so you're a double preacher's kid. Oh, man. Yes. Right. Right. Yeah, that's true.
And you can see it in the way they do their children.
Yeah, yeah. Miss B.
Yeah. You know, I feel so blessed. Because I was brought up with an 11, you know, my father was part of 11 children. And I was the first father. And it was a really, you know, Christian home for mother. My mother was a Christian home. You know, the only place we went was the church. And the only thing we, you know,
yeah.
And I was very, very I had no choice.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I got that base at home.
Right.
All I need to do.
What a blessing. Wow, that's a blessing. That's good to be able to realize how important that is and to be able to pass that along and to share that. Go ahead. Yeah.
But anyway, all love is kind of
What was that last thing he said? What was that last thing he said?
He liked himself.
Oh, yeah. Here it's here for the dogs. Yeah. Yeah. Yep. I want to transition just a little bit from our experiences kind of in life about what was our experience of love, of receiving love as kids, and talk about how that impacts our understanding of our relationship with our Heavenly Father and with God. And is this something that have you experienced in your life where it's been hard for you to really receive that love from God without like feeling like you have to, it has to be something that you're working on every day or trying to earn it. Like you show up at church on Sunday morning, and some Sundays you're feeling pretty good, you know. I've had my Bible time all week, and I've been nice to my wife, and I've done it all. And then there's those other Sundays where you've had this cat fight with your wife on the way to church over some little stupid thing. And you haven't picked your Bible up all week, and you kind of come dragging in here feeling like, how could God love a wretch like me? Have you experienced that feeling just like carried over now, talking about our relationship with God? Has that been a struggle for, anybody want to talk about how that's worked out for you, kind of feeling like, okay, I gotta work on doing my part. Somebody?
I'd like to share real quick before I land the plane faster. But the Lord did something really great for me. I got saved at age 20. And he let me know along in time. I would always feel bad when the scripture was read. And that you have known from child as a child the ways of the Lord. Well, I hadn't.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, I really was. You know, I was a hippie turned Jesus freak, and we got in. He's blessed me with families that were so loving.
Yeah.
And they just accepted us in. It's not like we were all dragging around on drugs all the time, but I mean, we wanted Jesus. We wanted this Jesus, and he showed me families, and I was a partaker in those families that just welcomed me. Yeah. So it's a wonderful thing, God.
Yeah. Yes.
So I had a very loving, grace-filled mother and a father who was still struggling with the death of his mother when he was a teenager. And so he had a very short fuse. So we all tiptoed around, you know. And that carried over. I can remember not that long ago, you know, realizing
Yeah.
And so I realized so that, you know, sometimes our dad's relationship follows, overflows to be our Father God relationship.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just do that same thing. So, just a plug for our inner healing class and the ministry after that, the prayer ministry has helped me so much with healing and understanding and set me free.
Yeah. Praise God for that. Deb, thank you so much. That was a really deep and powerful thing that you were going through there. And I think of the word that Debbie just used, talk about tiptoeing around. That will wear you out. That will wear you out. And
sometimes referred to as walking on shells.
Yeah, walking around on eggshells. And the thing is, I mean, a lot of us have grown up kind of doing that, you know. It's like, don't want to upset somebody, and I want to make sure that, you know, I'm always doing the right thing, and like, don't wait to be asked to do it. I have to think of it, you know, have already figured it out and done it before I have to. Anyway, and how that can carry over into our relationship with God. I mean, what, tiptoeing around, walking on eggshells with God, that's just exhausting. And so I just want us to kind of wind this part up by just reminding ourselves, what does the gospel have to say to a person who's grown up like that? What does the Bible have to say for that person that's just so working so hard, you know, to get it right and to earn it, right? What's the good news this morning? Help us out.
Peace I give to you, not as the world gives, conditional, but, you know, and let not your heart be troubled.
Let not your heart.
Yeah. And that's still a work to get.
Yeah, it is. Mike.
I think the most beautiful scripture in the Bible is when Jesus says, come unto me.
Yeah. Yes. I agree with you 100%. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Dealing with her stuff. So she's playing on that part of kids. Don't get daddy upset.
Yeah.
So that right there is speaking something into that shouldn't even be there already.
Right.
You see, so it's just, but we grew up like that. We all have to work this thing out. There's things there. So we've got to watch our voices, how we allow hurt things to allow to develop and come out of us.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Those eggshells. Yeah. Yeah, go ahead. Yeah, go ahead. Yeah, take my yoke and learn from me. Yeah. Yeah.
And I also felt like I had to overdo, you know, to compensate.
Just to be okay and accepted. Uh-huh.
One thing about God is that I found out many, many years ago is that I can go to him and tell him exactly how I feel. I can be real with him.
Right.
If I feel like I'm walking on eggshells with somebody or a situation's going on in my life or something has hurt me deeply or I feel like I'm having to try to perform, I can go to him, and he loves me the way I am, and he will
Yes.
And His Holy Spirit will guide me and bring me comfort and peace.
Yeah. Yeah.
Being able to sit down no matter where I'm at and say, God, this is how I feel. This is how this person's making me feel. And asking Him for His wisdom and His guidance to help me to get through that situation. So that brings me peace and comfort, just knowing that.
That is so important, so good. And it's something that probably a lot of us in the room could say, oh, yeah, I agree with you, like intellectually. But you've gone through stuff to where that's a lot deeper in you, and that's where we all need to be, is at that place where deep down, that's who we understand ourselves to be. Lee. Oh, yeah.
So it's a changing of that paradigm.
Yeah.
Into that, and I'm still working on it myself. But Hebrews chapter 4, this is the one for me that has helped me in the middle of things to do just like what Pat was talking about, no matter what. And it starts out, this just blows my mind. He says, therefore, let us be terrified of the possibility that even of entering His rest remains, any one of you might be judged to have fallen short of it.
We missed His rest.
Exactly. For the good news has also been proclaimed to us just as it was to them, but the message they heard didn't do them any good because those who heard it didn't combine it with trust, and in my translation, trust is the same as faith.
Yeah. Yeah.
I may be convicted of what I've done, but yeah. I am not condemned at all for what I've done.
Amen.
And He gives me the grace to understand that.
Yeah.
So that I will receive His mercy and find that grace to walk through that hard place in my time of need.
Amen. Let's take up the offering.
One more thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
To get His love.
Right.
Because it's unconditional.
Yeah.
Where sometimes through my life I felt like I had to perform.
Yes.
I had to do everything right. And that with Him, I don't have to do that.
Yeah.
He accepts me and He loves me unconditionally, so I don't have to perform for Him.
The pressure's off.
The pressure's off.
Hallelujah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Never. Yeah.
I feel like once you finally know God, He takes all of that uncomfort away. Like, you know, no more eggshells, no more solid to walk on, give you the comfort that you need, you can be real with Him. You know, you don't have to feel uncomfortable anymore.
Yeah. And that again, that is a thing that in my life anyway, it's kind of, I spiral around, I kind of get it, and then He kind of takes me deeper in that, and then I come back around to it again, and I have to kind of, yeah, yeah. But as I've been walking with the Lord, He keeps taking that kind of deeper down into my heart, you know, to where it's not something, it's just kind of helps, it's who I am, it's who I'm becoming, kind of. Just this idea of, yeah, did I cut somebody off? Yeah.
He is our rock.
Yeah. Yeah. I think about this line about Somebody's already hit on this, but it's about where is our focus? Who are we looking at? And what wears us out is when we keep just looking at ourselves and how we're falling short and we're not living up to it and we're making our mistakes and all this kind of stuff. And yet here this morning, the good news and the gospel is we don't look at ourselves. We look at Jesus. And he's taking care of everything. And he accepts us with all our shortcomings and failures. And look at what of great lengths he went to purchase our salvation, to offer forgiveness for us. Look how much he loved us. There's a thing down deep in my heart that was a wound from when I was born. My mother pushed me away and rejected me. It was one of those failure to bond kind of babies. And so all my, like, growing up years, it's like I was really desperate to be loved and accepted, to be wanted. And so there's this kind of theological term about how through what Jesus has done for us, he's made us acceptable to God. And to me, that term acceptable to God is just a little too kind of lukewarm, and that God doesn't see me as just acceptable. He's crazy about me. He cherishes me. He delights in me. He's passionately, you know, in love. And he came looking for me. He wants me. And so, like, I need to find a lot of stronger verbs about how God feels about me. It's not just, you'll do. I'll take you. You know, come on. No, it's like what he went through, for God so loved me, you know, that he gave his only begotten son. And he came looking for me. He wants me. He wants all of us. Yeah. Yeah. I just wanted to, I've flipped back to this slide from like the first week, but what is the good news? What's the gospel? And it was this quote: we are more sinful and flawed in ourselves than we ever dared believe. And yet at the very same time, we are more loved and accepted in Jesus Christ than we ever dared hope. What wonderful news. Yeah.
I feel real strong about this. God does love us unconditionally.
Yeah.
The Bible says that our sin separates us from God.
Yeah.
And I could go into it. I won't, because it would be too long and very, very emotional, where God has shown me that he loves us so much.
Yeah.
He loves Jeffrey Johnson.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Yeah. Amen. Ms. B.
You know, I tell the kids, there's one thing that so many people don't realize, love, don't have to know about love, that God loves them. There's one thing I tell all the kids, that God loves you. And they got to the point now where they say, you know, they think, Ms. B say, God loves you, and she's taking a liking to you herself.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I love.
Yeah.
And I just want all of them to know God loves them.
Yeah.
So.
I don't think the problem really is whether or not God loves us. The problem for us is, do we believe it? Do we believe it? And let me just say this. Again, I'm talking about that 15-inch difference between up here, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. And then down here, when you woke up this morning, threw your legs over the side of the bed, like just who you have become as he's done that deep work in our lives of just bringing the abundant life and transforming us and helping us to become the child of God that he's always meant for us to be. Do we really, at a heart level, do we believe that he really loves us? And I think that's something that we can say, I believe, but help my unbelief. You know? Like, I've got this much of it, but I need more. And he's got more. He's got more. All right, you guys have done a fabulous job here. And I think, let me just scoot back up to where we were. Perfections, conditional love, grace, understanding forgiveness, have experienced it. Okay, let me just take a couple of minutes before we end up to talk about this. This is the special category of firstborn children. Do we have anybody? You don't have to put up a 0 to a 5. It's either yes or no. How many people here were the firstborn children? Okay, I'll just make this quick. Yeah. I think first, not all, but a lot of us firstborn children kind of struggle sometimes. And it would be good news for us to hear that the pressure is off of the firstborns. And I found this online. Here's some descriptors for firstborn children. They're responsible. Some are. I wasn't particularly, but, you know, in general, responsible, motivated, conscientious, controlling, cautious, reliable, perfectionist, achiever, leader, and bossy. I could be a little bit bossy. Anyway, it just as I was thinking about different aspects of like who would this message be good for, like the pressure's off, it just occurred to me, yeah, all those firstborns out there that have tried so hard to be that people pleaser, you know, like the perfect child. Now, we could take some time talking to all the secondborns here because that's a whole different issue, you know, the rebels in the family and the ones who decided, if I can't get attention positively, I'll get my negative attention. But anyway, just all you firstborns out there, I've got good news for you. Hey, the pressure is off. You don't have to be a people pleaser because God loves you, you know, just the way you are and all these other things. You could just kind of relax a little bit and just know that God's got you. And yeah. Let me see here. Oh, this next one, I'm just going to show you the picture of it. And I believe we'll probably have to wait until until next week to kind of tackle this one. You got any idea what that symbolizes?
I don't know, but I'll tell you one thing.
Yeah. Oh, on the firstborn? Yeah, right. Yeah, I hear you. Well, this picture is just a picture I grabbed to illustrate the idea of control. And that's a big thing for a lot of people, is just people who feel like, I need to be in control. And so I won't wait till next week. I'll just ask you, let's just take the survey right now, okay? If that's one of your things, like you realize I feel a lot better when I'm really firmly in control. That's a 5. And if you're one of those people who just don't give a rip, you know, just go with the flow, that's a 0, okay? So let's see it. Let's vote. How many people where are you with control? Like needing to control things. There are some 5s. There are some 3s, 5s, several, 5, 2. That's good. There's a 0. All right. Awesome. All right. You know, this got even trouble in the garden is that she and Adam were going to need to have the knowledge of good and evil in order to really administrate that garden and to, you know, do their job. And I'm convinced that God would have given it to them, you know, in his time, in his way. But they were tempted by just taking matters into their own hands and doing it their way, you know. Yeah. Yeah.
My last 2, when my mother was expecting that second boy, a girlfriend and I thought, well, you know, we're going to pray that this is going to be a little girl, so you'll have a sister.
Right.
Well, out popped another little boy. Well, mom got pregnant with the 3rd little boy. We thought prayer must work opposite, so if you want a girl.
Reverse psychology. Yeah. So the control, you didn't really have the control that you hoped you would have there. It just kind of worked out differently. Yeah. Yeah. No. Yeah. Trying to keep things under control. Yeah. 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 Oh, my goodness. There's a lot of pressure. Right. Yeah, yeah. That was a lot to put on your little shoulders. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Yeah. Well, we're going to open up this can of worms next Sunday, and I still have like about 8 or 10 other topics that we could talk about, but I would just want to say thank you, everybody. The class this morning was just beautiful with your comments and just the way the Spirit led and opening up and just reminder what great news it is that the pressure is off and that God loves us just who we are, and that we don't have to walk around on those eggshells. We could just come to Him, all of us who are weary and heavy laden. The pressure is off. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for that great news, and that though we are a bunch of just real messes and have failed in so many spectacular ways, your love for us is deeper and wider and greater than we will ever be able to comprehend. I just pray that you keep gently helping us to absorb that message and drive it deeper and deeper into our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.